You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, this is episode 306 of the one and only IT in the D Show. Guests this week include Neil Nozakowski. He is the head cheese over at High Score Esports. We had such a great conversation with him a few months ago. Got a tons of great feedback, so we're bringing him back, kind of doing a little bit more deep dive on the wonderful world of esports.
Oh, also, is that why? I thought we couldn't find anybody else to fill this time slot.
No, it's not why.
Esports.
Shut up, Randy. But hey, in order to keep our show going, we need the help of great advertisers and to make sure those advertisers are the ones you actually want to hear about. But we need to keep learning about you to make that possible. Do us a favor. Please go to podsurvey.com/IT in the D and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better so we can make sure that we're bringing the advertisers who are relevant to you and to make sure that we only say yes to advertisers you care about. Once you've completed the survey, you can get it. You can choose to enter for a chance to win $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. That's podsurvey, podsurvey.com/IT in the D. I believe it's all capitals. And thank you for your help. Davey, may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT in the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hey guys, it's Timog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, sweep the leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier. Storm! Storm! Come here, Storm. Sit up my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
This is the ladies' man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. Whatever the hell that is.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snoops to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
This is Robert Hayes, the Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DeMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT and the D.
Skeptical, Dave is skeptical.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie. I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Swab and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Live from the monsoons of Detroit, Michigan, this is the one and only IT and the D Show. We're all the way at episode 306. Dave, you can say...
Wait, that means
290.
Bob's wrong, plus 290. Yeah. I like it when the math is easy.
Exactly. That's why I threw you a softball on that one. Broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the sales guy, still the sales guy. Dave still. The geek, Randy, I do the Twitters. Find us online, itandthed.com. Do us a favor. Give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, so events, we'll keep it simple. We had free podcast day this past Saturday. Went really, really well. We had a bunch of shows. A bunch of people come out and try, kick the tires, give it a shot. We've already had three sign up for regular slots. But then this Thursday at Embrew will be our regular IT and the D casual networking social.
No cover, no speakers, no sponsors, no $20 at the door.
Nope.
No.
Show up, hang out.
No buttholes.
Grab a pizza, get some beer, play some video game, or don't. Whatever. Do your thing. We're pretty low maintenance about it.
But it's downstairs. If you've never been down there, it's kind of like the basement we all dreamed we had. Just pinball everywhere and good food.
A couple arcades. Yeah, it's a ton of fun. I want to touch real quick. I did. I spent the better part of the last 2 days with those youth entrepreneurs folks. They're not doing a ton out here yet. They're trying to get in. Just basically teaching kids in high school and they're trying to get lower, the entrepreneurial mindset, and getting them to, start their own businesses. And actually, I mean, it's like the grown-up version. You remember DECA?
No.
Or what was the other one? FBLA. Like when we were in school, the Future Business Leaders of America.
Fubla.
Whatever. I'm sorry. You were too busy having your friggin' Boz haircut. And
back then? Heck yeah. I looked damn good.
Still watching wrestling.
Happy Prime Day, by the way.
That's right.
What did you say? What was the stat, Randy, that you said?
0.8% of Prime Day deals, in quotes, are worth it. According to Wirecutter.
What's their definition of worth it?
Yeah, I was going to go there next.
A significant savings or something that you can't get any other time.
So it's like usually when this stuff goes on sale, so now they just kind of put it all together on sale at once, and they put timers on it. It's got to act now. It's basically – Amazon's basically – is it becoming the QVC of the modern shopper?
You know, what you got here is the genuine leather handle.
Right. Right.
Or they've seen better deals than what they're offering on Prime Day.
15 minutes left. Who's got them?
You don't want to miss out on this one.
Look at that ticker go. We sold 1,000, 2,000. Watch that sucker climb.
Oh, God. Speaking of which, and you should totally listen to this episode. Friday night, I wound up going down to... DSC, Detroit Shipping Company, and running a show for Steve Nemzik. And his wife Kelly was there, and his co-host was there, the Don't Feed After Midnight guys. But Gutierrez was there. And so Kelly was all kind of buzzed up and giggly and kept making Eric and I do voices. Like she would just keep throwing out, like we were derailing Steve's show horribly, but it was making her laugh. So we had Stone Cold Austin arguing with Stone Cold Austin, Christopher Walken arguing with Kermit the Frog, arguing with Ray Romano. If you're looking for another show to listen to, Don't Feed After Midnight. The latest episode was a little fun. I know how much you love Gutierrez.
While we're on our drive to New Mexico this week, maybe we can listen to it.
That's not till September, Bob.
I got to start now. Here, if you have been under a rock and haven't been on the internet, it's basically going meme like crazy with all these stupid thing that came out about. Here, let me get it. So the first thing I did was yell about it because if you don't know what I'm talking about, they want to storm like a few hundred thousand
now,
people.
So keep in mind.
To Area 51.
There's a huge pinned post disclaimer at the top of this event.
That's satire, yeah.
Yeah, no. That said, guys, attention officers, authorities, yada, yada. I was just kidding with this. Thought it would get some giggles on the inner tubes. I don't know what's going on either.
You know how people work. Saying it's a joke only exacerbates, it makes it worse. But here's, again, I'm just going back to, all right, if you're going to storm Area 51 or anything for that matter, do you really want to announce it publicly? Like, if you really want it to work?
Well, if you're smart, you announce you're doing it on the 20th and then show up on the 19th.
It's like solo, like shooting at two.
Yeah.
Exactly. Got the count of three, one, two, yeah. You know, right. Or the day after. Oh, they didn't show up. Time to go
home. Here we go home. Yeah.
At first, it was cool just hearing about the event, you know, laugh, haha. And now all the memes coming up around the event are just insane.
Oh, well, because beautiful. It's stupid. If you announce it in September, government's like, well, hell, if they get through, we'll just ship all the damn aliens to the salt mines in Utah.
No, I'm sorry. My favorite one is the, you know, reading all the people that say they're going to storm Area 51 because they can't stop all of us. And then it's the guy in the Jeep with, like, the heavy caliber weapon that just has, like, in parentheses, laughs at 3,000 rounds per minute.
My favorite one was the picture of the kid from Neverending Story riding the dragon, and the caption was me flying home after storming Area 51.
Oh, there's the one where it's, you know, it's the guy on the bike, hey, me arriving at Area 51, and then the shot from E.T. with the bike at me leaving Area 51. Yeah.
We do have to wish rest in peace or good luck or goodbye. The Microsoft has finally gotten rid of their PBX system. As of July 1st.
You know, there was somebody who was still getting a residual off that.
There was still somebody getting mad paid on that. Well, basically they were paying more than $1 million a year to keep it operational. I guess in the beginning where, you know, when you add up the investment they've made up over 28 years, it's over $40 million for the wires and nodes.
Wow.
And more than $200 per phone purchased and installed. There was 6,000 employees when it started, and now they're about 80,000. So they're basically pulling the plug on all of it. It took them 10 months to do it, and now they're going straight Microsoft Teams with all of it.
Why didn't they migrate to Skype for business?
When they bought it?
Or Link or Microsoft Communicator back in when they rolled these things out.
Skype sucks,
right? Oh, my God. I remember Communicator. That was horrible.
Have you tried to use Skype in a business setting?
Or Link that was still just communicator.exe.
Right. No, I'm sorry. My absolute favorite story this week, and I love everything about it. You know, we've talked about, you know, the whole environment, the world's coming to an end, yada, yada, yada.
12 years, Dave. We've got 12 years left.
Bees are important because the bees are all disappearing and yada, yada, yada. Well, Pornhub has decided to try to help raise awareness this.
No. Pornhub, the number 6 viewed website in the U.S. Look, if you think about that for a minute, YouTube and Google are 1 and 2.
Yep.
Facebook is number 3.
Yep.
Pornhub is number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Continue, sir.
They have launched their bisexual channel because they want to help raise awareness about this. And so and this is the greatest thing I've – because I did. I went through and watched one because it's hilarious. It's bees having sex.
Yeah, that was your excuse for being on
porn. Absolutely.
Watching the bee channel, man.
That's what I told the internet filter. So it's for research. So it's bees having sex but voiced by porn actors. So,
oh my God, these titles.
It's
Married Couples First Beesome.
Uh huh.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's
Striped Mistress Spanks Naughty Sunrose.
Wait, so are they raising awareness or they're actually raising money?
Oh, no, they're raising money. Yeah, so it's I think it's every view a portion of the ad revenue for things that are shown, yada, yada, yada. They're sending off to this conservancy, and yeah.
International Bee Kake Party.
Come on.
That's exactly what's...
Knock it off, Randy.
This honey's all over me.
Damn. Show's gotten
so much pollen.
So sticky.
How do I segue into AT&T's robo-blocking call service now? Wow, this is awesome. So apparently, like, how many phone calls you get a day? I'm about a dozen.
Robocalls?
Yeah.
I just turn on do not disturb mode from 7 a.m. to like 9 p.m.
Then you get normal, then you can't get calls.
If it's important, they'll call back or leave me a voicemail.
Here's where it's getting stupid. So AT&T is rolling out a free robo blocking service, right?
Ish.
Right. But basically, the free portion will alert the customers that a call is spam. And from there, you can manually block it or send it to voicemail.
Which Verizon already does.
Right. But if you wanted it to send it
But if you wanted to actually, actually block it, yeah.
No, if you want to push the two buttons for you that you just did, it's $4 a month. So if you're that lazy where you can't hit block and then push the voicemail and you just want it, why would you want it to go to voicemail anyway?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't want to listen to the message.
Right. No, because it's kind of crazy. To buy a warranty on my 2012 Impala that I've been owned since 2013.
On your Starship Enterprise?
Yeah, exactly. Would you like to buy a warranty? But a cool story came out that was actually local in regards to, and I don't know what to make of it. Speaking of Amazon, basically an article came out that Amazon's been spending a lot of time in Plymouth, Michigan lately over at the Rivian headquarters.
Well, and also they've been spending a lot of time poaching employees from Ford and Tesla.
Oh, Rivian has,
Yeah.
And Apple, yep. Right. But basically is Amazon – has hugely invested in Rivian quietly.
Yep.
Back in February they enough $700 million in funding.
But it's been the meetings and all that. Yeah. They invested in February. But basically they're talking about there's an 80% chance that Amazon's going to be buying them within the next 5 years.
Well, I think it's an 80% chance they're going to be acquired. Oh, by 75% someone.
It's Amazon. 75%
it's Amazon. So yeah, close enough. Yeah.
Right. But like basically, yeah, they're basically the whole key to this. This is what Amazon logistics needs to happen.
Yeah,
and they're basically Rivian's doubling in staff. And did you see that YouTube video of a day in the life of an Amazon the Uber Amazon drivers? So there's a huge lineup of like 50, 60, 80 cars that like pull into a garage at the Amazon place in the morning. And basically, they just dump all the shit in their back seat, and then they open up their map and they just go dropping stuff off at people's houses.
Okay,
but like no, the process just to see how mundane and awful this process is, and the people aren't making shit. Like when they do the math, it's kind of like driving for Uber, right? Like on the short term, if you're not in it for the long haul, like
okay, then why do it?
I don't know. That's the thing.
Well, it's like all the people that were barking today about, oh, don't shop Prime Day because the warehouse workers are going on strike because they want to have – then don't work there. Yeah. I get it. Like, I get it. But the world we live in, like, this is not the 1920s. People are not beating the crap out of you to get your ass on the line, and they're not, you know, they're not hitting you with batons. They're not, I mean, it's not those days anymore.
No, not at all.
I'm sorry that you are at the spot in your life where that gig is where you are, but then do be better. Be better.
Right. And if they want to offset all this stuff to the people, one of my favorites, go ahead.
I was going to say, can we stop with every damned, just everybody needs to have their own friggin' streaming service now, because so Time Warner came out. Yeah, so Time Warner, and of course, so now they're naming their thing HBO Max,
not HBO Go.
There's HBO Go.
That's the app.
And then there's
HBO.
And then there's HBO Max, which I guess maybe is going to be HBO. And are they going to put Skinamax stuff on there?
They haven't played Skinamax stuff in years.
And then they're going to do that. Yeah. And then, so everybody like was all freaking out. Friends is leaving Netflix. Okay. It's going to this.
Yeah. The Office is leaving.
Whatever. It's their shit that they were licensing out, whatever. It's getting to that point where that whole cut the cord thing is not going to have the ROI that it once did because, okay.
You got to buy Hulu. You got to buy Netflix.
Well, you
got to buy Amazon.
Your internet connection, which they charge you more for if you don't have the other bundled services.
Because every one of those only has one show, and they know it. I got to buy goddamn YouTube because of Cobra Kai.
Like, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, so that, like, that
gotta have
I
Netflix
will do.
For Stranger Things.
But I'm not, there's nothing, like, I'm not, like, Friends, and that, there's no need for me to pay none.
Do you know who's watching Friends? My daughters. Mm-hmm. They're like 12 to 13, 14-year-old girls. All they're watching is The Office and Friends now.
Have they noticed there's no black people on Friends?
I just saw a meme on Facebook today that Netflix or Friends is the Nickelback of TV shows.
How many of us have them? I don't know.
Friends, what about your friends?
But yeah. The shitty thing about this Time Warner AT&T thing is that back in December 2016 when AT&T was buying Time Warner, they said they would not stop distributing their shows on other networks and services. And they said that they would, you know,
dot for 3 months. Right,
the merger would allow them to offer cheaper prices, but they've raised their price on DirecTV twice since the merger.
Well, and who's going to stop that? The government? Oh, that's right.
Oh, wait, no. No, not really. No.
And DirecTV, that's not working today in Detroit because it rained.
Because it's raining. Right. So, yeah, there's no.
But what my favorite conspiracy, it wasn't really a conspiracy theory because we all knew it was true. But ever since Nike decided to pull the Betsy Ross flag, Colin Kaepernick offended shoes, they basically made $3 billion as a company. Their market value basically shot through the – not through the roof, a couple percent.
Yeah, for them, that's sad. That
for
that's
them,
like
that's
couple percent,
$3 billion. Yeah. Right. But my favorite is Kevin O'Leary, if you watch Shark Tank, he calls himself Mr. Wonderful, basically goes, what I'm beginning to learn about Nike, they know how to take controversy and blow it up into advertising. But basically, this isn't the first time they've been doing this for now. They figured out how to basically bottle controversy and sell, you know, cheap foreign-made shoes for $300 a pair.
Randomly, like, I don't know if you caught the story or not, but there's a whole copyright stolen music thing swirling around Katy Perry. That court case starts this week. Some guy claims that that his stuff was big on a certain platform, and somebody from her camp had to have seen it and stole the beat and yada yada yada. Bob, if your court case comes down to intensely asking the potential jury pool how involved with MySpace they've been over the course of their lives.
What?
That literally the whole premise of their thing is that this guy's stuff was huge on MySpace, huge, enormous.
Is that like Capriati's number one ranked sandwich in the world
among the 200 people that answered the response
on AOL? Yeah,
in 19, yeah, but yeah. So that's the premise is that they're trying to prove that someone.
Randy, is MySpace still even exist right now?
Justin Timberlake was bringing it back at one point.
No, I remember when it went straight music, and it was supposed to be like where bands put their, you know, stuff
nobody
on.
Did. Nobody did.
Still technically a thing, but no.
So this is one thing that you're going to have to explain to me because I don't get it.
Okay.
And Business Insider put out a pretty good write-up expose on basically that a Russian troll slayer went undercover at a troll factory.
Yeah.
And basically there's hundreds of Russians working as paid trolls in 24-hour rotating shifts.
Yeah.
And he found like they were broken up in departments like news divisions, social media seeders, and then like visual memes like called demotivators. And it was run by a local restaurateur basically who's placed under U.S. sanctions for attempting to interfere with elections in the U.S. And basically what they found out, there's just people in there trying to like sway opinion.
Yeah.
Like the one thing that I got out of, does that work?
Here's, like, I don't know that it actually necessarily sways anything, but I think it definitely dumbs shit down because the issue that you have, because how many times have we talked about the stat that, you know, 70% of the people don't actually read the article before they click share. They read the headline and they go.
Not only that, while Neil's watching B-porn next to me. not only that, it's always the thing that something gets offensive, like the red Starbucks cup.
Right.
While like Trump's going to go to war with Iran or like they just signed some bill in the middle of the night that like on a Friday. And the meanwhile, everyone's arguing on Facebook how offended they are about something stupid that they forget about in a day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Are they doing that? Like basically they have a quota to fill. They work around the clock. The reading's insane. Like we'll put the link up on YouTube or on Twitter. Sorry. It's way too long for us to sit and go through these things.
No, but I mean,
it's insane.
No, I mean, the reality is it's they're basically paying people and it's their gig to, you know, sit on places like Reddit and Facebook. Or, you know, they named a number of websites that are out there and I've seen those websites pop up in shares that I've seen from people that, you know, swear it's the gospel truth. I mean, you want to talk about fake news? That's the shit that's fake news. You know, it's stuff that's like wholly ginned up by, God, what was it? You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, you know, the Alex Jones, InfoWars, you know, lost, you know, got slammed hard and lost a case from, the family or the one family from the kids, in Newtown, you know, and so that, and that was, you know, but the funny thing, but the thing of it is you, like, you trace back to some of the shit that he was citing and some of the stuff that he was going, like that whole, there you go. So there's a good one. That whole crisis actors thing,
right,
stems from one of those websites.
There's hundreds of those websites,
but trace right. the lineage back. And that's the thing. Don't check anything before. Well, that agrees with my line of thinking. Therefore, share.
Dude, look at 4chan. The crap that they've gotten away with calling the OK symbols a white supremacist or whatever. And now, like, you can't do the circle game anymore in public. Like, the hashtag is a double H Heil Hit. Like, come on.
No, that's still a pound sign.
But exactly. Pound me too.
Yeah,
that's, and then the news, but then the news runs with it like it's true. Like, they laugh. It's like classic troll syndrome.
Well, but that's the other issue. So we live in a world where, and I do, I still blame CNN for this. You know, once we went to a 24-hour news cycle, you had to have something to fill those 24 hours. You know, back in the day, you know, when we were kids, dude,
you either
woke up at 6 in the morning and you watched the news between 6 and 8, or you sat your ass down with your family at night and you watched the news between 5 and 7.
Yeah, but the morning news is the puppies end. And rainbows.
No, but period, the end. Like, that was it for news. You know, now you got these 24-hour news cycles, and of course, you have all this fluff and filler. Well, then you have to have everybody that has to have their own fluff and filler, because it's got to be their brand and their opinion and their side and their this and their that. So I mean, like, and like, there are no journalists anymore. Like, we've been saying this for years. There is no such thing as journal, or it's very, very rare that journalism exists anymore.
No, there was the podcast that I watched with Tim Pool. That was, I think we talked about this on the show like a few weeks ago, where he was saying that the journalists aren't even journalists anymore. They're creating their own controversy.
Yes.
And then they're following it, and then they're writing about it as if they didn't just they're creating these manipulative
because
news pieces
because they have to in order to get ahead
to get the clicks
and that you've got all these veteran journalists that are probably either rolling in their graves or have been fired and replaced with 25 grand a year click monkeys that just take whatever press release comes across the board and post it as gospel. There is no fact checking. There is no verify
Anchorman
your sources.
Too.
Yeah, there's none of this. Yeah, there's none of it.
Anchorman 2 is like basically the Idiocracy of now. They totally nailed what CNN was. Like, let's give them puppies.
Yep.
My
God, I forgot the greatest news that came out. This is the last link I shot across. There is a sequel in the works for The Last Starfighter.
You're going to hate me.
Have you never seen this movie?
Either I did or I didn't like it. One of the two. I don't remember which. I swear to God.
Get out.
I remember seeing parts of it, but I can't tell you what it's about.
No, and I'm like, Mr. Sci-Fi, I have no recollection of that movie.
Like, dude, ever. That was hands down. Like, do I still have all that crap?
I had the last Starfighter lunchbox when I was little.
I've seen The Boy in the Bubble. I've seen The Boy in the Bubble with John Travolta like 6 times, but I don't know. But
dude, The Last Starfighter was the whip. Like, why would you not?
So there's a sequel coming out. Great.
Yes.
Like, it ran out of shit to do, so now we get that.
Well, no, and it's one of, like, dude, that was one of those, like, so that was, I mean, whether you liked it or not, or whether you saw it or not, it was one of the very first heavy CGI movies. And if you watch it now, you're going to laugh at how bad it is, because I actually just watched it a couple weeks ago.
So it's not going to pass my...
Does it hold up?
No. I watched 4 Spring Break movies, by the way, where the boys are 84 and, like, Spring Break... All shite.
They're terrible.
I loved them as a, like.
Of course we did, because
you know why.
For its time, it's like Tron. For its time, that was so far ahead of the bell curve.
Tron was great.
So The Last Starfighter was that movie. It was, there's your whole tie-in. Kid playing video game. The video games were actually planted there by aliens to try to find people who were good at piloting starships and all that kind of.
See, that's a good conversation. Find me. So Tron was a better video game than it was a movie. Find me that anywhere else in the world. And yet, it's true. That was one of the best video games of its era, and it was better than the movie.
It was a good video game. For what the movie was, the movie was phenomenal.
Speaking of video games, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Neil Nosikowski talking all things esports. This is the IT and the D Show.
Esports.
a sports center.
That was the best transition we've had in a while.
It made sense this time.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Eh, we'll take it coming back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. Segment 2, episode 306. This is the IT and the D Show broadcasting live here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit. Beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Randy, I do the Twitters. Find us online, itintheD.com, where you will find all the things.
Oh, hey, and before I forget, we're going to be at the Monroe Comic-Con.
Monroe.
That 4 listeners get. Ming's going to be in town. I believe Mike's going to be in town. And there are some shenanigans being planned.
Yeah, boy.
That we were discussing this week.
We're kidnapping Kelly.
They're hanging in town for a few days after. Woo-hoo. So there's going to be some stuff. But hey, so imagine asking a light bulb in your living room to light your master bedroom. Like light waves, Wi-Fi doesn't go through walls, which is why the single router model doesn't work for our increasingly high bandwidth world. But with Eero, you can install a distributed entertainment grade Wi-Fi system in your home in just a few minutes. Simply download the Eero app on your iOS or Android device, and it'll walk you through each step of the process. It's quick, easy, and painless. It really, really is, folks. The Eero app lets you manage your network from the palm of your hand, so you know how many devices are connected at any given point in time, as well as the internet speed of the device. You can also easily create a shared guest network. That's one of my favorite features, is the guest network. You get somebody's phone number, text them a single-use access code that's good for 24 hours, and then they're gone. It's beautiful. And with Eero's incredible customer support, you can get a hold of a Wi-Fi expert within 30 seconds. I've got one in my house. I just finally got the basement bar done. Thrilled. So now I've got all 3 stories running. The Eero network down there. There are, TV down there behind the bar. The kids are down there with their gaming systems now. Got them out of the way. Beautiful reception. Still no complaints. Other than, Dad, why is the network filtering out certain things that we can't get access to that our friends get to watch? Because of Eero. Gotta love them. Hey, never think about Wi-Fi again. To get $100 off the Eero base unit and 2 beacons package, that's what I've got, and a year of Eero Plus, which is what is annoying my kids, go to Eero.com/IT in the D. That's Eero.com/IT in the D, and a promo code IT in the D, all one word, at checkout. You have to use the URL to receive this offer. That's Eero, Eero.com/IT in the D, and promo code IT in the D.
Good stuff.
Seriously, obviously, guys, we love your stuff. Thanks.
I haven't rebooted it since I've installed it.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that. Idiot. So, hey, we are joined. So about 2 or 3 months ago or so, we had a good friend of ours, Neil Nozakowski, who owns High Score Esports in town. And basically, I got so much good feedback from our listeners that, and a bunch of news started happening in the world again, and I kind of wanted to have him back. So, Neil, thanks for being out here again.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me back. Excited to be here.
Yes. I mean, one of the things
you look at. I'm sorry that we have to pull you away from the B porn to actually talk about stuff. I'm sorry.
I was getting a buzz.
Boo! You held that one in this whole time, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I was trying to find something witty. I found it.
But I was talking today, even with somebody today, and we're talking about the competitive gaming, and I was watching a thing this weekend from the arena in the Luxor in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was explaining how about the whole science thing you talked about before, like saying basically once you're 26 or once, your body is a certain point, you're done. You can't even think about being like a pro gamer anymore.
Right, right. I mean, you just tapped out both physically and mentally at that point. And more to the point, you're really, really good at that age because you've made it so far. But 2 years behind you is somebody better than you already. And you've kind of blazed a trail for them, and they're just making it better.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
But one of the things
that's every pro athlete throughout time.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing different.
No,
they're not athletes by any means. Don't get me wrong. I'm never going to admit to that. But
hey, the great, Gordie Howe wasn't making $1 million a year. Just saying.
Right. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like,
and this is the same period, right?
Yeah.
This is actually before that, even.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, hockey and baseball, you can go till you're 40. Football, you're done at 30, 32. I'm just saying, you know, there's some sports where you can you can kind of go a little longer. Sure. Basketball, you're pretty much spent at 36, 34, depends on who it is. But yeah, when we first talked last time, you know, we were kind of dumbfounded that all about like the high schools having teams and the colleges offering scholarships, and now what I'm reading is like there's the pro teams are buying bars so their team can practice all day long. It just like kind of blowing my mind. Like they wouldn't just go into like some industrial like what hellhole.
Like they didn't like one of their buddies doesn't have a basement.
That's what I'm saying. They're going out and buying like the main street bars,
right?
And making them in like I don't even know what they're like. What's your take on all this?
So I mean that I mean, you're referring to the Renegades facility out in Auburn Hills. So originally the Renegades team one of their teams was in a house in Rochester Hills. That's where they lived and practiced. And for some reason, I don't know, whatever, some old coot decided that it was a good idea because they need to have this bonding together. And then all the teams were doing it. Like you had a gaming house, and that's where all the teams would practice and play. And you realize, so, I mean, imagine that being a whatever football player, hockey player. Hey, here are your teammates. We bought you a big house or apartment complex. You all have to stay together. That's how you're going to create a team.
Single A baseball?
That's not how that works, right?
No.
So
they need their private time.
They do. They need to have their own time. And that's part of being a human. You cannot transpose all these people around to something different because they're playing esports. That they have to be.
Well, and here's the thing. So. Like, I don't think you need, like, you need to get along. You don't need to be best friends, though, to succeed as a in anything for that matter.
Exactly. It's just like any other sport, right? You just need to communicate well.
Mm-hmm.
And
there are guys on teams, pick a sport, that hate each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And a lot of times play real well together.
Yep.
And I don't know if the hate drives that. But so you transfer that out and you go, hey, but taking care of this house, I mean, it's a Rochester Hills house, so I'm only going to guess how much it costs. Big enough for five players. So clearly, five bedroom Rochester Hills house. Yeah, it's got to be $120,000, right?
per bedroom.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you look at that and you go, okay, well, let's dump that and let's transfer that over to a model that may make us some money. We're already going to pay for it anyway. So why not take that expense, turn it into a bar, which their facility is, it's a bar with video games. It's not a video game bar. It's a very different distinction.
Okay.
The money's made from the bar.
So they're blueberries, but they're not blueberries.
They're Frankenberries.
I worked in that bar back in 2002 when it was the Post. Right? And then Dino Ciccarelli bought it and kind of expanded like the TVs. Like, do you know what they did on the inside to like make this a, like, did they create, like, just make it a LAN party where, like, the restaurant tables were?
I haven't been there. The people that I've talked to that have been there are basically like, hey, the first thing you see when you walk in the door is the bar. And then along the fringe.
You'd have to majorly remodel it because, you always walked in the door.
Right.
And there was, bar. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently that's the same thing. So a lot of gamers go in the door and they go, ooh, so this is just a bar with video games. And that's where that kind of classification starts.
Right.
Hey, we're here to make money off food and drink, and we're still going to charge you for the PCs because they're kind of badass. But LAN centers don't work. Like a pure play, hey, come in and rent this PC for an hour, doesn't really work.
I mean, can I be honest? Like, don't most gamers, don't they just live on Hot and Ready's and Monster drinks? Do they really want to go there and spend top dollar on like,
absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Gaming food is a thing.
Right.
Right? You have to have certain gaming foods that are applicable to what you're about to do. So
Red Bull.
Right.
Red Bull. Or Monster.
Yeah. Fried foods that are not greasy. It's a trick. It's a thing. You know, like chicken fingers aren't super greasy.
Gotcha.
They're breaded. They're fried. But, hey, they're not really greasy. So I can have chicken fingers, wipe it off on a napkin. I'm good to go. Ribs? What a dumbass idea. Nobody's going to, finish a slab of ribs and then go back to the PC and stick their fingers all over the keyboard and the mouse.
Well, more to the point, they will.
Right.
Well, no, they won't because they know better than to ruin their game by doing
Well, no, but the casual person who's just hanging
absolutely
on the bar will, yeah.
Absolutely. Right. So you're going to get that mix in the group where you're going to have casual bar attendees, because there's really not a lot of bars in the area.
Right.
And, hey, they're going to go there. They don't really care what's going on around them as much as, hey, I can come in here and get a drink and maybe some food.
Well, yeah. So most of those pro gamers walk in with their own board anyway. That's what blew my mind when you guys did that garden theater event.
Oh, yeah.
Where I go, are they bringing their own, game board and the sticks and the buttons?
People bring their own keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
They've got what they like. And there's...
It's like not a bowling ball. Like, I got to get in the mindset because I'm still, this stuff blows my mind. I can't, it dumbfounds me. But I'm like, yeah, right. I wouldn't go pick up a house bowling ball because I was a big bowler.
You're not going to go play hockey with the house skates.
No, right.
So you're going to bring your own stuff. And in a lot of cases, that's the same thing. If you're going casually, who cares, right? You're not really going there to compete. So it's a very interesting, it's a model that's been around. I mean, even though the, like you said, the quote unquote reporters don't really do any fact checking. So the stories that came out about it, it's like, hey, this is the first one in the country. Oh my gosh. It's been around for 15 years.
Yeah.
And established in a lot of cases, some that have lasted 15 years.
The internet's on computers now.
Right. That's basically, wow. Yeah. I can't believe people play video games. Okay. 2 trillion people.
Right.
What the heck's the number?
Well, it's become.
How did you grow up? People play video. Yeah.
No, it's becoming a thing where, like, on ESPN2, on the weekends,
the Ocho,
right on the Ocho, they would have, they would run out of programming when there was like two white guys boxing.
Right
now, like they're playing like esports in prime time. Yep. Like,
yeah,
seriously. What I didn't see, the drone racing used to be a thing on TV all the time.
Yeah,
that's gone.
Is it gone?
Yeah, I haven't seen it in ages.
I think it's just hard to follow.
Yeah,
right. It's just one of those things you just don't know. And which is video games are the same, right? Esports in a lot of cases, unless you play that, you can't follow it. I mean, whereas traditional sports, typically you kind of get what's going on. Like, you may not understand why they call the foul for a certain reason, but you kind of get the gist of what's happening.
Yeah.
Where in esports, it's like, no, a bunch of guys don't line up and then all move in one direction. That's not how this works. So,
well, isn't it like, what is it, League of Legends? The ones that have like the magic drops. Right, I tried to watch it.
Oh,
I'm like, what in the blue hell is
going on? You totally need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So that makes an audience that's very distinct, and you can't really put that on prime time.
Right.
I mean, you could. League of Legends generates a couple hundred million a year in prize money. So
the Tom Clancy stuff you get because it's first person shooter. You know, sniper. You shoot. You know what I mean? I think people get those.
Yeah, but that's part of the issue, right? So when you're talking about schools adopting this.
Oh my God! Yeah, now you have shooters.
They can't have shooters.
Oh my God!
You can have Fortnite because it's all comical shooters,
right?
But PUBG, which is the same as Fortnite, which before Fortnite is the same style. But yeah, there's headshots and blood and things like that. The concept is different.
So what are the schools doing about it?
They just don't use it.
I mean,
they play Rocket League. They play
Madden and Rocket League.
I mean, I don't know if they'll do Madden or anything like that. They're playing Fortnite. They are doing.
I mean, I was watching a FIFA tournament, and I thought it was actual soccer, and it's two guys playing video games on TV. And I'm like, yeah, nah, I'm good. I like soccer, but nah, I don't know about that.
It's crazy. We had that event at Little Caesars Arena where they had it on a couple of TVs that were not by the area where they were competing, and people were standing there watching it like it was a game until it clicked that both guys were playing the Red Wings. And
nice.
The same players are on the ice on both sides. So people are standing there watching for a few minutes and like, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait, what?
This isn't an actual game. This is.
Well, it's gotten to that point where it's that realistic. Like, you squint your eyes, or if you don't see that well.
If it's on a TV up on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. You're not gonna be able to know the difference right away. You'll figure it out in a minute when certain things happen. But
yeah. I mean, it's no Madden 94, but I mean, you know. So, you know, I love asking what's next, but like, you know, here we see now these teams are buying, you know, it's being invested by big name celebrities and investors. They're buying bars. We're seeing arenas in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there a cap to this thing, or is this thing going to, you know?
This is the period where I think things are going to get flushed out, where they're going to try and figure out what's really legit and what isn't. The concept is to buy a team. The concept is to associate that team with the city. The concept is to follow traditional sports. This really isn't. And it's a very, very different. I think the understanding the players is key to that, and understanding what they like and what they'll do and how they're loyal to certain things. And you have owners of football teams trying to make their model, hey, let's build an arena, let's sell high-priced concessions and parking and expensive right. tickets, and people will come and pay all those things and watch people play. And we go, sorry, Twitch, see ya.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it needs to, this is my opinion, and I'm a complete idiot when it comes to all this stuff, is the people that are doing the commentary, I've never seen someone like do a good job. And it almost needs to have an MMA boxing feel where it's like this competition and there's like this build up and there's this energy, but it's not. They're just like basically showing like the side of some, you know, kid's face and the guys, you know, it just, you know, I think there needs to be an evolution in terms of how the production shows off to
the presentation layer.
Maybe right. I'm wrong. Maybe the kids like it that way. I don't know.
It depends on which production you're seeing, right? If you see any of the majors, the production's fantastic. Multiple commentators in multiple areas. They're going back and forth. They're professionals. They understand the game. You're missing the hype because you don't know what they're hyping about. Right.
Right.
They're giving you the details of what's happening. And those that understand what it is are like, oh, my gosh. You know, hey, they're on the 3-yard line and they've got 2 downs left. I mean, they understand what's happening versus, right. you know, you're anybody that's just randomly watching.
I mean, granted, I'm the idiot that called play by play for professional wrestling and you know, knew all the moves. But if you never watched professional wrestling before, you're like, what the hell's
you're just
what the hell am
French,
I talking about?
Right,
right, right. Sports. Right. Yeah. Sports. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's tricky. But the production value, I've seen some of the production studios. It's fantastic. That's full blown. High quality, the same thing you get for a broadcast production, because they have League of Legends has more people watching it than Super Bowl. So
is it really?
Yeah, last year, Super Bowl was 98 million, and League was 102.
What? Damn. I wanted to say I was going to swear, but let's say use our F word.
Yeah.
What the absolute F? Like,
wow.
That, and the Super Bowl is something like the think about that's a holiday.
Yeah.
Like, that's a people
from pop culture, mainstream
people
awareness,
that hate
yeah.
football, they all have parties and get together. Like,
well, there
it's
are
insane.
In video games, there are multiple Super Bowls a year, right? Far beyond the big 5 sports that we care about in the U.S. I mean, there are 100.
Because and each game's got their own.
Each game's got their own.
Yeah.
And they have their tournaments leading up to it, and then they have their finals, and then they have prize money. I mean, the internationals this year is their prize is at $25 million right now.
Well, isn't that the gamer? Did you tell me this? The ninja, the gamer that used to mm-hmm. be in Michigan, he went to Chicago or something. Yeah. What did he get paid? Like $1 million a minute to like.
That was it? He had to play a game three times.
Three times
oh, right,
on
to
Twitch.
Play Apex, yeah.
Was it Apex?
Yeah,
okay,
so they gave him $1 million to play Apex. Like, I think he had to play for 3 days.
Right.
Yeah. Because he's got enough followers. I mean, he is the Seinfeld of the 90s, right? I mean, hey, if we want to sell something, we're going to put it during Seinfeld because everybody's watching this show.
But
right. Same concept.
But you also look at like the dollars grossed when like a Blizzard game or a you know EA game gets broke. Like, didn't they say it grossed more than like the major movies? Like, they were grossing billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
For each like video game release.
Well, like a billion Fortnite in the first week. Yeah, dude, right. Fortnite was making, I don't know what it's doing now, but it was like $300 million a month.
A month, yeah.
Yep. And like, yeah. What was Endgame? $1 billion total? Billion
yeah.
two? Global?
Yeah, so 4 months.
Right.
Yeah, Fortnite does that every 4 months.
Right. And still, like, I'd love to, like, it's way over my head. Like, I still can't.
Well, and I guess that's the question is, like, how many games out there languish and die for every Fortnite that catches on like that?
Oh, yeah, the number's astronomical. Astronomical.
Look at the catalog at Steam for a half an
right,
hour. That'll tell you everything you need
right,
to know.
And look at the playlist on Steam.
Yeah.
You go on Steam stats and see how many people are playing a game in a given time. And you'll see, hey, the top 10 are the same top 10 they've been forever.
Right.
And there's just a mechanic to that. There's also the momentum behind it. Right. Hey, I may really like this awesome, super eclectic game, me and 4 other people.
Yeah.
So how fun is that going to be playing with the same 5 people over and over again, right? It exists. I mean, the games are released in mass. You think about the Steam catalog, then you have to think about the Nintendo catalog, the PlayStation catalog, and the Xbox catalog on top of all that,
right?
Which are not compatible with each other typically, right? So,
well, then you have companies like, you know, the Blizzards and the Bethesdas. You know, if anyone's played like Fallout 4, I'm not talking 76, I'm not won't say a word about. But if you played Fallout 4, you understand the work that goes into that is just it's obscene. The detail, the absolute detail that goes into those, I can't even fathom writing that or being QA for that.
Right, right.
QA's got to be like, because if you glitch on that, you lose everybody. So QA's, in my opinion, it's got to be the most important job when you're devving a game.
I mean, it's pretty tricky, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the story is key more than anything else, right? And having a crappy story isn't going to make any all the QA in the world, you know, kick it in.
That's
once
true,
you've
true.
Got that nailed, though,
yeah.
That's the next most important part, right? Is, hey, let's not make this a really crappy experience for people.
Right.
Although, I mean,
you got one guy that can shoot through a wall. Now there's a YouTube video of it, and it goes viral in 10 seconds.
Right,
and then
there's
you're
ghosts
done.
Running around on the, on the battlefield. Right.
Right.
I mean, there's tons of glitches across all the games. I think the quality level overall has decreased over the years, right? When we didn't have an internet connection, we couldn't get a 1 gig update on day one.
Yeah.
We had to have a finished product in our hands. You know, go back to the days of whatever. You couldn't release
SOCOM 2, man.
You couldn't release a cartridge with a patch.
Right.
Right. So it had to be perfect on the, you know, and they still had glitches, but they were minimal in the big picture.
Bo Jackson.
Things, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. No, that was my first experience with it was SOCOM 2 on a PlayStation 2, 8 versus 8, SEALs versus terrorists. I don't even remember what my connection was in the house. WoW internet or whatever, you know, like a mag or something. And, You didn't get to update any game or guns. You got what you got. You didn't get upset.
Well, but I mean,
it was glorious.
But so, there, I mean, you think about it. I mean, there's pluses and minuses to that. I mean, there's, you know, there's pros and cons to both sides. You know, yeah, dude, for like, so PS2 was the PS2 for what, 11 years that was out as a console?
Probably.
And you could still walk in 11 years later and buy a PS2 game. Pop it in the PS2 that you bought 11 years ago, and it would work.
Dude, that was big news when the SOCOM 2 servers went down, and it went down that long ago, and we were like, oh, my God.
No, but like my point with that is, dude, try that with a PC game. Take a PC game today and throw it into a 2-year-old computer. And let me know how things work out for you, or a 3-year-old computer, you know. And then you've got, you know,
I still play Diablo 2 and Empire.
Other way around.
Yeah. No. Take a break. No, take
today,
your.
Oh, yeah. Computer.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I mean, it's, and I think that's part of it. Like honestly, that's one of the reasons why I never got into the whole PC gaming thing, or even, you know, a lot of the online console games, because it is. It's a little bit more intensive. Like, you know, you have to keep upgrading. You have to keep tweaking. You have to keep downloading patches and updates and all that stuff. Like,
you need a $2,000 video card? You suck.
Yeah, no, but that's, you know, that's one of the things. You know, it's the, like, you know, like, dude, there's a new Fortnite patch every 2 weeks or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
And that, you know, and that's one of John's biggest complaints, my son's biggest complaints is, oh, I wanted to play the game and I got to wait. It's got to download and it's got to update when it. Fine. I'm like, dude, sorry. And like, and there's no option not to. Like,
how about you play Chopper Command on the 2600?
That's
the worst thing is out of the box, you put the game in and it's got like three gigs to
download. Day one update because the patch is a different thing. Well, going digital across the board, which is an interesting concept and it's coming our way. I mean, the death of GameStop and Best Buy selling video games is
right.
It's imminent, right? So all digital downloads, we have enough bandwidth for – apparently that's a situation where game companies care about the people that have bandwidth. And if you don't, I'm sorry, your trailer out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we don't really care if you play our game anyway.
Right.
Because we have 2 billion other players. So that's going to be the change of things, right? It's going to be streamlined patching where you're not waiting for the downloaded – you know, this massive update to come through, they're just going to patch the bits that need to be patched and call it a day.
Yeah.
Because it'll all be connected at a certain point. Why they don't do that today, I don't know. Epic doesn't care because your son will wait.
Yeah. I bought my kid a 4 terabyte drive for her ex. I think it was $119 for 4 terabyte. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, don't worry about it because my hard drive's full. I'm like, not anymore. You know, what do you,
yeah. I mean, that's what I have. I just take it around with me with all my Xbox games on.
Yeah.
My PC stuff is different. It's just installed at every location that I have a PC, and it just syncs and runs its updates and stuff. So not really too big of a deal with that, but it's that accessibility thing. And at the end of the day, all the true esports are all on PC. And that's the top five are by far on PC, and then pretty much the top 50 are almost all. So very few console-related esports at this point.
There's no Clash of Clans esports league.
there's actually.
I've seen have you seen the tournaments with the crowds?
No.
Yeah. Like two people with a tablet?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting on stage with it displayed above
big.
Them.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm still going to go look.
It's all over ridiculous. YouTube. Yeah, because it's such a dumb game. We all play Clash of Clans here. And it's
you know
such
what else
a...
is dumb? Magic the Gathering, a trading card game with physical pieces of cardboard, has an electronic version, and people sit around and watch people playing the electronic version instead of the physical cards.
So that's a good point. People say that a lot about video games because they don't comprehend the fact that you're doing the same thing. I mean, I sit around and watch guys play hockey.
No.
Well, I could go do it.
No, but why are these players playing the computer version instead of the cardboard version?
I don't, because they want to be into how you play cardboard version if you're both on the other sides of the country.
Because they're in the same room.
Because F Shuffle and Randy, that's why.
Well, they're in the same room, so the people will watch it. I mean, got you.
Yeah.
So.
And you don't have to bring your, I don't know, binder or deck or whatever full of cards and have it lost by the TSA. Yeah. And
Anyway.
Yeah. It's a weird world, right?
But hey, we look forward to some upcoming news with High Score Esports locally in Detroit and beyond. Waiting in anticipation.
I'm keeping it close to the vest.
That's
we got
fair.
Some stuff going on.
I know.
We got some stuff going on. I'm not sure yet.
We'd love to have you back when you can. And we sincerely appreciate the insight into this. Because like I said, this is a world I thought I was a gamer until I see this stuff, and then I'm like, I'm so not anything remotely close. But that's why these conversations are fun. But hey, we can find you, Neil Nozakowski, High Score Esports, esports.com. And then, we appreciate having you on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Very cool.
Thanks for hanging out with us. That's going to wrap things up here for episode 306 of the one and only IT and the D Show. I'd like to thank Neil Nozakowski from High Score Esports and the Youth Entrepreneur Summit interview. Much appreciated. Also like to thank Eero for your sponsorship. And also don't forget to do the podsurvey.com/IT and the D. It's anonymous and it's quick, and we appreciate it. On behalf of Bob, Dave, and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
See you guys.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Bonan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run! The run!
Game over, man! Game over!
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so...
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! A chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? No! Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show up!
I love this city.
So it was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.